Open your Bibles, please, to Job 32, verse 9. I'll read one verse there and then read another verse or two other verses in other places in the Bible. I'm teaching tonight one of the simplest Bible studies you ever heard in your life, but one of the most important you ever heard in your life, on the science of obtaining wisdom. The science of obtaining wisdom. In Job chapter 32 and verse 9, this is an amazing verse. Great men are not always wise. That doesn't sound like the Bible, really, does it? It almost sounds like some other statement, a secular statement, but it just says it. Great men are not always wise. Now, that doesn't mean great men in the sense of great character. It means that great men in the sense of leadership are not always wise. I like this one, too. Neither do the aged understand judgment. What he's saying is the fact that you're old doesn't mean that you're wise either. And so, now then turn, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Make it chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4, verse number 5. Proverbs 4, 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. It's very interesting. Wisdom is personified. Are you listening to me? Wisdom is personified here, and it's personified as a woman. Sort of burst my male ego somewhat, but this, for verse after verse, it says, talks about wisdom, says she gives you this, and this is what she does, and you need her, and so forth. So when the Howell's version comes out, it'll be changed, I'll tell you for sure. Says in verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, here it is. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and see, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And it goes on. Now turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse number 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Our Heavenly Father, tonight we're going to discuss what I think is one of the most important subjects we could discuss, and give a little formula for getting wisdom. Truth is, it's so simple I'm almost embarrassed to give it. And yet it works. So I pray you'd help us as we teach and as we study together. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I tonight go any further, or before I start teaching, let me just remind you of my credentials for the study of this lesson tonight. I am going to give you something so simple it's almost embarrassing to give it to you. But I won't tell you how much it's worked. I'm going to give you the formula tonight that I've used for over 40 years. I want to make you, again, aware of my credentials. I have made millions of decisions. I doubt very seriously if there's a man alive who makes more decisions than I do. Secondly, I have fought many a battle. I don't think there's a preacher alive who's fought as many battles as I've fought. Now, I'm saying, forgive me for I'm not boasting at all, but I'm saying I'm still on my feet. I'm still on my feet. I'm 67 years old, and I'm still on my feet. I have guided churches through many storms. I am the only man alive that has ever taken two churches out of the two major Baptist denominations in the world. I led a church in Texas of over 3,000 members out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I led this church out of the American Baptist Convention. And I guided those churches through the aftershock, and it was an aftershock, believe me, in both cases. And in both cases, again, we landed on our feet. I have pastored more people than any man who's ever lived. I think that went through a minute. I've pastored more people than Spurgeon, Moody, Finney, Jonathan Edwards, Apostle Paul, I pastored more people than George Truett, R.G. Lee, J. Frank Norris, John Rice, G.B. Vick, Bob Jones. And I'm trying to tell you that I am not in any way a great man like those men were and are. But I have pastored more people than any man who ever lived. I had to have wisdom. I could not have made these millions of decisions without wisdom. I could not have fought these battles and landed on my feet through these many years without wisdom. I could not have guided churches through all the storms through which we've been in my pastorate without wisdom. I could not have pastored more people than any man that's ever lived without wisdom. For 20 years, now get this one, no preacher that's ever lived can make this statement, For 20 years, I have had no one to go to who has traveled my journey before me. For 20 years. There's nobody whom I can call on the phone and say, what did you do when you were here? Because they've never been there. It had to be wisdom from God. I'm not an author, but I've written over 40 books. I'm not an educator, but I'm chancellor of the largest independent fundamental Baptist college in the world. I'm not an educator, but I have full confidence that our high school, junior high, elementary schools are the largest of any independent Baptist school in America or the world. I've been in a constant building program. I have either been planning a building, raising money for a building, building a building, raising money to buy a building, every moment of my life since 1949. Think about that. 46 years, I've either been building a building, drawing plans for a building, raising money for a building, buying a building, raising money to buy a building, or tearing down a building. Nice to know you're here. That takes a heap of wisdom. I'm not an architect. I'm not a builder. But that takes an awful lot of wisdom. And wisdom that I do not naturally have. I'm not an economist. And yet, between sunrise this morning and sunset this evening, $40,000 had to come into our tills here to keep everything going. That's every day, 365 days a year. And we've kept things going for these many years. Howells Anderson College is a college that's worth $22 million, I imagine, and we don't owe one single penny on any building at Howells Anderson College. It's debt free. First Baptist Church of Hammond, in all these years, we've paid our debts and paid them on time. We don't have a lot of money. I'm trying to tell you tonight that what I'm going to give you is going to sound so simple, but I'm going to tell you what I do to get wisdom. If I face a decision, well, let me go first and say, if I see a battle approaching, I do the things I'm going to tell you about tonight to get wisdom. Now, I'm talking about not just getting wisdom, listen to me now, every day. I'm talking about it tonight, especially for those big things when you have to make a decision or when you face a battle. When I see the cloud coming up of a battle, of the dust rising, of a soon coming battle, I do the things I'm going to give you tonight. If a decision must be made soon, or any time in the next year or so, I do the things I'm going to give you tonight. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. When I have a decision I'm facing, the first thing I do is I give God a certain amount of time to let me know what the answer is. I give him a certain amount of time. Usually, if I don't have any deadline, usually it's about 6 months. But if I have a deadline, I have to meet sooner. I ask God to tell me. Now, I do not tell God how to tell me. I people always say, I put the fleece out. No, you didn't put the fleece out. Please put your pens up now, everybody. I ask you night after night to do that. I want to talk to your mind. If I could ever get you to listen, you'll remember a lot more listening by paying attention than you will by writing it down. And so I want you to please listen to me now. I don't tell him how. For example, there are times when God, I know I'm supposed to do something, and it's because the peace of my heart says it. I don't tell God, you do this and so. You strike that tree with lightning if you want me to do so and so. There might be some fellow saying, if you want me to do so and so, don't strike that tree with lightning. And I never tell God how to tell me. During the time that I have between the realization a decision must be made and the decision making itself, and during the time between the time I see the battle approaching and the time the battle arrives and during the battle itself, there's several things that I do. I have a formula, and I want to say this too. Most of the big decisions you're going to make in your life, God is not going to tell you what to do. You know what I said? Most of the big decisions that you make in your life, you will have to make them with your own mind, and God is not going to tell you what you ought to do. Consequently, you're going to have to ask God to give you wisdom. You ask the staff, people on the staff, what I pray at every staff meeting. I don't care how many we have. I pray this prayer every Thursday we have a staff meeting or any other. I say, dear God, control our minds today as we make these decisions. Now you listen. I think that's 10 times better than you saying, God led me. I've said this so often. We can put most anything under God led me. God led me to marry her. God led us to go together. God led me to quit school. God led me to marry this unsaved person. All poppycock and hogwash. The honest, simple truth is, I call that the Baptist word of knowledge. It's exactly the same thing that the charismatic use. I feel the word of knowledge. God, no, 99 and 99, 100% of the decisions you're going to make in your life, you're going to have to make with your own mind. Now, I have a Bible that says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. It does not say, make this mind be in you. It says, let this mind be in you. The mind of Christ wants to be in you. God wants to give you his mind. And all you have to do is let the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you. Not force this mind be in you. Not beg this mind be in you. Not plead this mind be in you. But let, are you listening? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if I can have a mind transplant, and if I can have the mind of Christ to control my mind, then I will come nearer making the right decision and nearer having wisdom than in any other way in the world. Oh, God, let me know. And, God told me in a dream an hour ago. Now, 999 times out of 1,000, God didn't tell you in a dream. Oh, God wrote it in the sky. I saw it written in the sky. GPC, that means go preach Christ. No, it didn't. It meant go plow corn. Now, the honest truth is, I wouldn't ever, if I were you, seek for a sign. I wouldn't do it. If God wants to give you one, let him give you one. But don't go around looking for one. And especially don't look for one if it's what you want to do in the first place. Now, let me tell you, as I see the decision time approaching, you guys that are graduating from Howells Anderson College, when you do, and you want to know where you're supposed to go. Now, let me tell you what I've said before. Where you're supposed to go is not one-tenth as important as what you're supposed to do when you get there. I mean, I wish you'd spend more time trying to read the Bible and doing what God says to do than trying to figure out where God wants you to go. The what of the will of God is 10 times more important than the where of the will of God. And time again I've said this. I'd rather be, if God wanted me to be in Burlington, Vermont, I'd rather be in Timbuktu, Kansas, 2,000 miles or 1,500 miles outside the where of the will of God, doing the right what, than be right in the middle of the where, not doing the what. I can show you missionaries all over this world and pastors all over this world tonight who are right in the center of the geographical will of God, totally disobeying what God has told us in the Bible is His will. I'd rather be doing the what in the wrong place than be in the right place and not be doing the what. Most important thing about the will of God, preachers sometimes come and say, "Brother Hyland, I'm going to start a church. You know where I ought to start one?" Yes, sir, I can tell you where I ought to start one. Pick a spot out in the world somewhere. God said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." And if you pick up a spot somewhere in the world, you won't be far wrong. But where? Where? Well, just go. I like what Dallas Dobson did. He was going to Seattle, Washington, to start a church, ran out of gas and ran out of money in Pasco, and stopped and started one in Pasco instead. Now he has the largest attendance of any church, Baptist church, independent Baptist church, west of the Mississippi River. Now, maybe God's first choice was Seattle. I don't know. But he stopped in Pasco and built a church. And I don't think God's real upset about the church out there in Pasco, Washington. Are you listening to me? I don't think so. I'm saying if you'd get more concerned about what you're supposed to do. Some of you young preacher boys sitting right here, never bring a soul down this aisle. Never get anybody saved that walks the aisle. Only people you get saved, those that cry, "What must I do to be saved?" then beg you to tell them. And you think you're going to go out here someday and get a great job done for God. "Oh, where do you want me to go?" Well, I can tell you where he wants you to go. He wants you to go to soul winning in Hammond, Indiana right now. Or the Chicago area. That's what he wants you to do. And if you don't do it while you're here, I hope you never get a church. And I hope you starve and your wife leaves you and marries a decent guy. Most of that, I hope. Hope she didn't ever marry you in the first place, you sorry bum. I'm simply saying, you sit here right now and spend your time studying Greek and studying theology and never get out here and do anything. You may drive a bus every once in a while, but you never get out here and knock on a door, get somebody saved. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't give you a dime for these people always wanting to know where. Won't you read the Bible and find out what? Now then, if I've got to make a decision, but I've got to go somewhere. Everybody's got to be somewhere. Write that down if you want to. And by the way, where you are is where you're at. Don't forget that. But everybody's got, now the best way to find where you ought to go to do the what that you're supposed to do is to ask to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You get wisdom. All right? How do I get it? Now this is so simple. Proverbs 11:30. Look at it. Proverbs 11:30. Very famous scripture. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Hey, are you listen to me over here? He that winneth souls is what? Wise. Now, it doesn't say he's wise because he wins souls. He says God makes soul winners wise. I'm saying that when I see a battle coming, or when I see a decision coming that I've got to make, I, number one, double my soul winning. I doubled my soul winning time. Now follow me carefully. The tragic thing is, most of us, when we need wisdom the most, stop the very things that give us wisdom. I'm in a battle. I'll quit my Sunday school class. No, you don't. You double your Sunday school class. I'm saying the first thing that I do when If I win souls regularly because I need wisdom regularly, but there are times when I need unusual wisdom. I've got, when we came, we were deciding about coming to Hammond or not 34 and a half years ago. In fact, we started considering it 35 years ago this very month. 35 years ago, we began to wrestle with coming to Hammond or not. What did I do? Go out in the woods. "Oh, God, show me. Cause lightning to strike this tree. Eclipse the sun." No, sir. I didn't do that. I went soul winning. I doubled my soul winning effort. I'm talking about exactly, if I was going soul winning 10 hours a week, I went soul winning 20 hours a week.
When I have seen battles coming, I've doubled my soul winning time. Why? He that winneth souls is wise. All these stupid books you're going to read about how to get wisdom, how about this wonderful book? How about reading that for a change? He that winneth souls is wise. And not wise that he wins souls, though that's true. I mean, God gives wisdom to soul winners. He doesn't give to folks who are not soul winners. So if you want more wisdom, in the name of sweet name of Jesus, then accelerate your soul winning time. Always do that. Always do that when asked to come here. And I was wrestling with this decision. Should I become pastor of this church or not? I did not double my meditation time. I doubled my soul winning time. Now let me say something. I'm not talking about the wisdom of this world. I'm not talking about human wisdom. And by the way, most of these Christian psychology books that talk about human wisdom are simply copying the same philosophy of the secular psychology books. I've told you this before a time or two. We have had for years a big old book. I don't know if we still have it or not. A big old book on how to rear children. Oh, no. Yeah, rearing children. But medical and psychological and a big old, I think it's red, wasn't it? A red book on children. I was doing some research, writing my book on how to rear children, how to rear teenagers, how to rear infants. Hear me carefully. I chose the outstanding Christian psychologist in America. The most famous Christian psychologist. Now hear me carefully. On a nationwide radio broadcast, known far and near as the outstanding Christian psychologist. If I called his name, you'd know him, and many of you thinking of it right now. I don't care if you are or not. I decided to research his book, some of them. So I got a set of his books, and I'd read a few chapters here and there. They looked familiar to me. And I kept reading. I said, I've read this before. Somewhere I've read this. I know where I read this. It's in that big red book we have at home. Ladies and gentlemen, I got pages out of that book, that red book, and compared them to pages in this famous psychologist's books, and they were word for word. I think this fellow 100 years ago that wrote this red book copied this psychologist. There is no such thing as going to a Christian school and studying Christian psychology. And there is no such thing as a Christian psychologist. There is a Christian who teaches secular psychology. And I don't, you say, you're talking, yes, I'm talking about him. Well, how about I'm talking about him too? Well, how about, yeah, I'm talking about him too. You get the same sorry psychology from the Christian psychologist. Why? Because you can't go to a Christian college and learn Christian psychology. Why? That's exactly why. Because the average so-called fundamental Christian school teaches you out of the same book that the secular school does. And you check and see where this secular psychologist, Christian psychologist, went to school, and he went to school in a public educational program, a state university. And that's what he learned. All, I'll tell you something else if you'd like to know it, or you'd like to know it or not. There is a famous place that prints so-called Christian textbooks. Bob O'Clair is smiling because he knows what I'm going to say. There's a famous college in America today that prints Christian school textbooks. You know where they got most of them? They bought out a secular company and put their names on it. And all across America, young people are sitting in schools getting the same stuff that the public school kids are getting. In many cases, it's just had the name on the front change. Brother, it's time we got that book for our wisdom. My Bible says that the foolishness of this world, of God, is wiser than the wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I'm so sick of all these big shots on these talk programs. Well, Dr. Mess Him Up, what do you think? It doesn't matter what he thinks. What does God think? Little old Christian soul winner has more sense than a PhD does. He that winneth souls is wise. Doesn't say that he goes to Harvard's wise. Doesn't say that goes to the University of Chicago is wise. Doesn't say that goes to Dallas Seminary is wise. It says he that winneth souls is wise. Never dawn on you why that the soul winning churches in America are the churches that are growing? And all these smart fellows are busy feeding their two sheep. Can't call them a flock. When you face a decision, don't go out and ring you. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Go soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. That's the first thing I do. When I see a battle coming, I double my soul winning. When I have a decision coming, I've got to let the mind of Christ make my decision, and I've got to make it. And I 10 times rather make a decision after doing these things and training the mind of Christ than to ask God for some supernatural phenomenon somewhere to lead me like a dream. Brother, I dreamed the other day that I was playing center field for San Francisco Giants. So I've come to resign tonight. And that's the way you do it. I dreamed 2 years ago that I was chosen Mr. America in a bodybuilding contest. Folks, I could come near playing San Francisco Giants center field and I'd do that. So I'm resigning tonight, Mr. Schwartz, stupid. I'm resigning to become the next Arnold backslidden R-rated movie, Heathen Pagan Schwarzenegger. Now you listen to me. You ought to get spiritual enough where your mind is so controlled by the Holy Spirit that you will make the same decision that Jesus would make if he were here. How do you start it? Soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. Now then, please, turn, if you would, to chapter 15 of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 15. Chapter 12 and verse 15. Read it out loud, please. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Let's stop right there. Look at me now. It didn't say the way of a fool is felt does wrong. Here's a guy that in his own eyes thinks he's doing right. Put your pens up, please. Here's a guy that in his own eyes thinks he's doing right. But it says here, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. If only eyes that help you do right are your eyes, you don't have enough eyes. Because it goes on to say, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. When I came to this church, I didn't contact every preacher in America. And I didn't, like you college students do, contact my buddies in class for counsel. I contacted 2 people. J.C. Sizemore, my old pastor, and Lee Robertson, and I counseled with them at length. Not whether should I come to pastor the church or not, because they could not decide that, but the counsel I wanted to know should have come and visit the church and consider it. But choosing where I go, only God and I can enter that little booth. But should I consider it? I sought counsel from my pastor, who was, Brother Sizemore was 40 years older than I. And I sought counsel from Dr. Lee Robertson, 17 years my senior. And those are the ones whose counsel I sought. Now, I'll tell you again. Folks, if you got some decision to make, listen to me, you got some decision to make, you need to seek counsel. I'm amazed. And by the way, hey, you old heads, you gray beards, I want to talk to you a while, too. We just got back from Florida. Cold. I had a chill Monday night. A chill. Like that. Down there in Florida. don't get mad at me, but if you do, I'm going to say it anyway. Down there in Florida, there are hundreds of thousands of old codgers like me that moved down there without even caring whether it was the will of God or not. Listen to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking about Baptist deacons. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. And they're there by the drove and didn't seek anybody's counsel. And on their own went down there because it's warmer. Now, I double dog dare you to show me that in the Bible. It's not just the Howells Anderson seniors that ought to seek the will of God and then get wisdom to make the right decision. I'm talking about 65-year-old people and 60-year-old people and 70-year-old people. I'm talking about, I've always wanted to go back home. Well, who hadn't wanted to go back home? Hey, did you know the will of God is not just for 18-year-old high school seniors? So, I seek counsel. First thing I do when I've got a decision to make, I give God some time, but during the time, I'm waiting for the deadline, and by the way, the deadline almost always comes. I'm trying to get wisdom. Number one, a devil of soul winning. Number two, I seek wise counsel. Look, please, if you would, at Proverbs. Let's see, I've got it here. Proverbs 13:20. Read it out loud, please. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Well, who are those fools? Guys that want to have a drinking party. Who are these fools? Rebels. Who are these fools? Rule breakers. Who are these fools? Rock music hearers. Bible said that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now you listen to me. I wish I had a life to make a study. I'd like to make a study of everybody who ever got expelled from Hammond Baptist High School. I'd like to make a study of everybody ever got expelled from Howells Anderson College and let you know how they turned out. I just wish I had time to do that. And I'd like to have time to take the National Honor Society honor roll students at those same schools and see how they turned out. And I'll tell you why the ones that got expelled. They were a companion of fools. Who's the fool? Guy that offers you a smoke cigarette. Who's the fool? Guy that wants to take you to Lover's Lane. Who's the fool? The gal that wants you to ditch church. Who's the fool? The gal that wants you to stay out in the hallway during the church service. And the Bible says, you shall be destroyed. That doesn't mean you're going to drop dead. It means your life will be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Shall we say then, he that walketh with dumb men shall be dumb? Shall we say that he that walketh with foolish men shall be foolish? Shall we say he that walketh with stupid men shall be stupid? Shall we say he that walketh with an idiot shall be an idiot? Sure you can. He that walketh. Now that word walketh means you walk. Now let me just say a word here. I'm asking you too much. I'm going to say a word here. I am fed up to hear of the young people who are just inside the rules or are outside, we don't know about it yet. And even their parents criticizing the good kid and saying they're Pharisees. Now you let me say this. I would rather be that prodigal son's brother who stayed home and wouldn't go to the party. And when his brother came back home, he wouldn't even speak to him. Now don't misunderstand me. I think he should have spoken to him. I wouldn't have. And you wouldn't have either. Quit looking surprised. Who's got a brother? You got a brother? You got a brother? Suppose that your brother said to your dad back yonder years ago when you were 18, he said, Dad, I'm sick and tired of these stupid rules. I'm leaving. And suppose that your dad had given your brother half of his money. And suppose that you worked out in a field and your brother quit the field. And you picked cotton and pulled corn and shucked corn and plowed and followed the old mule. And your brother took that money from your dad and went down and got him a Holiday Inn and a Trans Am car. And all the pretty blondes and brunettes and redheads that you could get and lived in sin. and wasted his daddy's money and broke your daddy's heart. And all the time you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, slopping the pigs and gathering the eggs and milking the cows and chopping the wood and building the fire and going out in the field and following old Bossy out there all day. Not Bossy, Bossy doesn't pull. Elmer, all day long out there in the field. And you do that day after day while your brother is sleeping till 11 o'clock and have room service at the Holiday Inn on your daddy's money. And then your brother comes back home and says, I'm sorry. And your daddy says, let's have a party for him. You say, have a stupid party, but don't send me an RSVP. And you've done the same thing. Now, you make it, I'll make it very plain. I'm not in defense of these young people that look down their snoots at people that have gotten in trouble. I'm not for that. But I'd rather be those that don't drink and don't cuss and don't listen to rock music, and don't smoke their pot, then you pot-smoking, cigarette-sucking, rock music-listening young people that go to the devil. I'd rather be that Pharisee than be you. Boy, that's good. So what did I do, and what do I do when I have a decision to make? I get around all the wise men I can. Now, when I was in the valley of decision about coming to this church, I called Dr. Rice. Dr. Rice, we're going to preach together in a few days. Could I just have lunch with you? Now, I didn't ask him for advice. I just want to hang around him. The Bible doesn't say he that seeketh advice from wise men. Here it says he that walketh with wise men. I just want to hang around him. The following men I had lunch with or a meal with in those months when I was trying to decide what to do. Lee Robertson, John Rice, J.C. Sizemore, Bob Jones Sr., Lester Olof, and others. I only sought advice from two of them, but I hung around the rest of them. Now you listen to me. You, if you got a decision to make, you hang around wise men. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28. What do I do when I'm facing a decision during this time, awaiting the decision-making day? I double my soul-winning effort. I seek counsel from a couple of wise people, and I hang around wise men. I love this one. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. When I have a big decision to make or see a battle coming, I just shut my mouth for a while and just listen. That's why God gave you two ears and one tongue. In some cases, your tongue is bigger than both ears together. But I'm saying that during that period, I just do not talk a great deal. I go soul winning. I seek counsel. I walk with wise men. But I just don't talk a great deal. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Very, very famous passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That word salvation does not mean getting saved from hell. It means salvaging your life for God. And the child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. What's able to make you wise? The holy scriptures. Turn off the so-called Christian radio. Turn off WMBI. And turn off channel 38. And turn on WBIBLE. Chapter 38. The average Christian does not read that book. And the average person here tonight does not read that book. We'd have revival in America that break out if every Christian would take every hour he spends reading some stupid devotional book from some interdenominational writer, and every hour he spends listening to one radio preacher after another, and every hour he spends watching one so-called Christian TV station, and take the same amount of time and read this book. From a
child thou hast listened to John MacArthur, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. From a child thou hast listened to rock music on WMBI, which will make thee wise unto salvation. Now don't write me a note on my door, it won't do any good. It won't do any good. But you may hurt, I may make you say the same thing Sunday. And don't get mad at me. Get thee mad at these stations playing this dirty rock music on them. Let's see if I've got enough time to tell it or not. I don't think I do. No. No, I'm too nice a fella to say what I was going to say. When I have a decision to make, I double my Bible time. I double my Bible time. And if some of you doubled your Bible time, it'd be 120 seconds a day. If you want to be wise, you double your soul winning time. You seek counsel from a couple of wise people who've been where you are. You walk with wise people and you double your and live in this book. Now don't read the book trying to find the answer. Oh yes. Lord, where should I start a church? Oh, I'll read this over here in Ezekiel 38. It says, he shall come from the north. The guy told me that. He said, I'm going to start a church up north. Because I wrote my Bible and there it was. He shall come from the north. I said, son, it doesn't say he shall go to the north. It says he'll come from the north. God's calling you down south. And it's just as much in that and in his. Don't be looking, you know, like one guy said, I want to do what the Bible says. Pointed to a verse and it says Judas hanged himself. Pointed to another verse and it said, go thou and do likewise. And the honest, simple truth is the average person who gets his information wants some kind of little tricky thing in the Bible. No. The God of all wisdom put that wisdom in this book. And don't go to the Bible looking for some little cute leadership. Go to the Bible looking to get to know better the one who wrote it, and so the mind of Christ can come in you while you make the decision you've got to make. Now turn to James chapter 1. The very famous verse 5. James 1, 5. If any of you, says if any of you preachers lack wit, no. If any of you Bible teach, no. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and who that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Now that word ask of God is in the linear. Whenever I'm facing a big decision or a battle, I double my soul winning time, I double my prayer time, I double my Bible time, I seek counsel from wise men, and I walk with wise men, and I do the best I can to talk less than I normally do, other than when I'm preaching and so forth. Now, let me go back and tell you what that's done. These six little things, what has it done? It's helped a little poor boy reared in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas without any great oratorical ability. No genius, no great leader, not an educator, not an intellect. It's helped a little poor kid make millions of decisions, fight many a battle, guide churches through hundreds of storms, pastor more people than any man that's ever lived. For 20 years of that time, without anybody who's been where he's traveled, he's had to travel by himself, without anybody to go to. Constant building program for 45 years. That's all I've done. When I see a major decision coming or a battle coming, I've got to have help. I've got to have wisdom. I double Bible time, double soul winning time, double prayer time, seek counsel, get with all the wise men I can, just hang around them. And then I do my best to be quiet and listen. and listen and listen. Now, all over this building tonight, there are people who've got to make some pretty important decisions. I'm talking to some young lady in this room tonight. Listen to me now. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to some young lady in this room tonight who's about to marry some bum. I have nobody in mind. I can tell you some that already have. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking to some young lady tonight. Now, hear me carefully now. You're about to marry some bum. Oh, but I love him. You need wisdom more than you need what you think love is. And love, in your case, could be spelled W-A-N-T. I want it. I'm talking to some young lady tonight about to marry some bum. How you know he's a bum? Well, check and see what wise people think about him. That's what you do. Ask Dr. Jordan, what do you think? You'll never get married. He doesn't like anybody. Ask Brother Eddie, what do you think? Ask Brother, what's your name? Young, what do you think? Ask Brother Larry Smith, what do you think? Just ask some people that know him, pretty smart. But listen carefully. I'm talking to some young lady, and I want to say it again because somebody's heart's burning right now. You're about to marry a bum. And the truth is, you haven't read one book of the Bible since you dated him. And you haven't prayed at least 1 hour any single day since you started dating him. And you haven't hung around anybody since you started dating him but that bum. And you are not following the advice. I'm talking to some young person going to go home in January in college. And the truth is, you don't live in the Bible. You have not accelerated your soul winning. You don't live on your face begging God what to do. You haven't sought wise counsel. You haven't walked around with some wise people. Just some little old punko or punkette in your dorm room. I didn't come to get a degree. Well, stay to get a degree then. I just came for a semester. Well, suppose you said, well, I'm going to drink. I just quit drinking for 6 months. Go back to drinking. You stupid idiot. If you are going to make a decision that affects your life, you get out here and go soul winning about 20 hours a week. You read this Bible an hour every day. You get on your face before God for an hour every day and beg God to give you his mind to help you make the decision. You counsel with people that are smarter than you are, and you hang around wise people. You say, well, Brother Hounds, if I'm about to marry this bum, what will hanging around wise people do? It'll let you see the difference. Shall we stand, please?